Hallelujah. So good to be here again. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah. We will deal some with the portion of the week, with the Haftorah portion from Isaiah 54. Actually, we will probably end with the Haftorah. But let's start with another Haftorah which was read already before. Isaiah 50. Abba, I pray that you will speak to us. Speak to me, speak to all of us. This morning, Abba, I pray, I thank you for this sweet spirit, for your sweet spirit that already resides in this place. I pray, do not let it go, Abba. Spirit, remain. Just anoint my lips so I can declare your glory, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Thank you, B'Shem Yeshua. Thank you for this place. I bless the people, bless all who are seated here today, this morning, B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 50. Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? He speaks to us, whom I have put away. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourself, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers as a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? How many of you know that God indeed divorced Israel? Don't be shocked too early, please. It is scriptural. How many of you know why God divorced Israel and why at all to use this term, divorce? Come on, it's not a rhetorical question. You know me already. I'm not the usual preacher. Come on, tell me. Adultery. Yeah, but adultery is taken from, a man and his wife, you know, life, right? Terminology. Husband and his wife, right? That's exactly the reason why he uses the word adultery. Not idolatry. Idolatry in God's eyes is adultery, as it relates to us and him. Because God always relates to us as his wife. Did you notice it? It's like a thread going throughout scriptures. Whenever God speaks to Israel, his nation, or to Jerusalem, or to Zion, all are synonymous, yeah? Actually, you need to know Hebrew in order to understand, to differentiate. Because for you, it's you. You adulterer, okay? You harlot. It's always the you is at in Hebrew. And at is feminine. God relates to us in a feminine way. I mean, not he, but to us, yeah? We are the feminine. We are the wife. We are the bride. How does Jerusalem, the heavenly one, described in John 21? come on, as a bride adorned for as bridegroom, right? Coming down from heaven. So God always relates to us as his wife. If you read, well, before if we read, you remember that Yeshua said to his opponent in John 5, if you would believe Moses, you would believe me. Because Moses wrote about me. You remember this? What did he mean by that? Did he only point to the famous scriptures in the Torah, for example, what we read last week, in last week's Torah portion, Deuteronomy 18, a prophet like me, the Lord will raise from amongst you, you shall listen to him. Did he mean only those, or maybe Shiloh, Genesis 10? Are those the only verses which speak about Yeshua in the Torah, in the five books of Moses? Nope. I can promise you that Yeshua is revealed already in Genesis 1. Actually, if you want to tell a Jew the gospel, even a non-Jew, you only need Genesis 1, 2, and 3. All the gospel is laid there, down before you. The rest, Genesis 4 and all the way to Revelation 22, repetition, repetition, repetition. Nothing is new under the sun. Are you with me? Everything is cyclical, and you know my teachings already. Some of you went to my website and saw it, yeah? Everything is cyclical. Everything is reoccurring. Nothing is new under the sun. The story is the same story with different actors and different actresses. While Adam and Eve are a picture of Messiah, second Adam, last Adam, and new Eve, us. When they die, actually before they die, they lived quite a long, yeah? About 900 years or so. Abraham and Sarah takes their place on the stage. Are you with me? When Abraham and Sarah dies, Isaac and Rebecca takes their stage as the picture of the bridegroom, Messiah, and his bride. Are you following? Then Jacob and his wives, and so forth and so on. Okay? So, all the Torah is filled with portraits, pictures of Yeshua. And guess what? Ki tetze, when you go out, this Torah's portion is filled with descriptions, with commandments, with what you should do, what you should not do, relating to the relationship between him and her. Check me. Don't check me. Let's read a little bit. Deuteronomy. Just few. Kitetze, verse 10 of Deuteronomy 21. When you go out to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God delivers them into your hand, and you take them captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman. Oops. How should you treat her? You actually, you fall in love or you fall in lust with her? Because you're in the battlefield, you did not see your wife for a long time, or you didn't, you know, you need it, you have needs. Flesh, yeah? So God in his great mercies allows the man, the Israelite man, to take a beautiful woman for his wife. But he has some limitations. He needs to make sure that she cut her fingernails. Not so attractive, a woman with no, you know, no color, nicely fingernails, yeah? And shave her head. Ooh. Ooh. Do I still desire her? This is the meaning, by the way. That's why she should do it. For one whole month, she should be very, very unattractive and mourn while doing it, mourn for her past. Relationship between him and her. This is not the message, so I'm not getting too much, too deep into this story, yeah? But there is a picture of Yeshua there as well. Yeshua is the soldier who take us in captivity. Are you with me? But let's not get there. Maybe next year. If I come here at the same portion, okay? Let's go on. What about verse 13 of the next chapter? Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her, etc., 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 again, commandment relating to husband and a woman, a man and a woman. Are you with me? And of course, the clearest passage upon which I want to concentrate today is Deuteronomy 24. 1 through 4. Are you there? Deuteronomy 20, thank you. 24. I have water here. Okay. Wow, plenty of water. Cannot drink all those bottles. They put me about 20, but no. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and in Hebrew, what is translated into uncleanness is eravat davar. You don't need to be, I'm not here to teach you Hebrew, okay? But erva is the area of your private members, both in man's body and a woman's body, okay? And it always, when you hear uncleanness, which relates to the Hebrew word erva, it means sexual immorality, like committing adultery. It's not when your wife, you know, when she prepared your coffee, but the coffee was not sweet enough. You are not allowed to divorce her. It's only on sexual immorality, and Yeshua confirms what I say. Remember? When he says, men and women from the beginning were to be one, what God made one, men should not separate. Are you with me? Only on adultery, on the basis of adultery. If I cheated Gabi, she's allowed to divorce me, and vice versa, God forbid. Yeah? So, if he has found some unclean ervat davar in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Please listen carefully. A description of how you divorce your wife. When she is departed from his house and goes and becomes another's man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, by the way, the certificate of divorce, how many of you know what the Bible say about certificate of divorce? Actually, it's a protection deed. Did you know it? Oh, yes. Soon you will see how it fits. Okay, this is only the picture. Soon we'll speak about substance. God and us, yeah? Soon we'll speak about it, okay? I don't want to run ahead. Gabi always tells me that you speak like your thoughts slow down, yeah? I'm already thinking about what I should say probably in 20 minutes, but keep it in mind. When I give my wife, God forbid, if I would never divorce, yeah? I would need to give her a certificate of divorce that she was once married to me, yeah? That no one should play with her, okay? And I would need actually to still support her. Are you with me? And somehow protect her. Keep my eye on her. But, big but, capital, B-U-T, .. is the next words. If the latter in verse 3. Husband, detests her. And writes her a certificate of divorce, puts her in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband, who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Look at me now. I have a good friend who used to tell me God never gives bad commandments. Do you believe there is any out of the 613 commandments, mitzvot, yeah? Is there even one which is bad? Which is against us? No! God is good, right? Torah is perfect. It is to protect us, to build us, to edify us. Amen? But another thing I want to tell you now. God does not give us any commandment which he himself did not follow, fulfill first. What, Rabbi? God is a spirit. He's in heaven. How could he, you know, does he put tefillin, phylacteries, you know, does he do like this? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the essence of the Torah. God is merciful with us, yes or no? He commands us to be merciful. God has a heart for the widow. Remember Elisha resurrects the widow's son, the Shunammite's son? Do you remember the great prophet Yeshua HaMashiach, yeah, who resurrects the Nain woman's son? Are you with me? So he's good to the widow? You also need to be good to the widow. God is the father of the fatherless. We also need to care for the orphans. God accepts the strangers. We also need to accept them. Are you with me? God never gives a bad commandment, number one, and God never gives a commandment that he himself did not set an example for us to fulfill, to walk. Halacha. Walk, halicha. To walk in his footsteps. Yeshua said, and I'm sure you know it already, I do not do anything that I did not see my father do. Excuse me? In heaven there are blind people to touch. In heaven everything is perfect, beloved, no demons. But yet Yeshua knows the Father's heart so much. He came from him. He knows. He is the stretched arm of God here on planet Earth. Whatever the God desires to do up there, I mean the Father, yeah? Yeshua does it. Saying those two principles, yeah? God never gives a bad commandment, and God never gives something that he does not fulfill himself. And saying another thing, that if you would believe Messiah, Moses, you would believe in me, because Moses wrote about me, and knowing that the Torah is filled with prototypes, foreshadows of the bridegroom and the bride, knowing all of this, we are in a big trap. Why? Actually, not we. Both we and God are in a big trap. Yes, God. God trapped himself. Entrapped, you say in English? Because my Bible, and I just read it to you, at least my Bible, maybe your Bible says something different, I don't know, says that if a man divorces his wife, he cannot take her back to himself because she was already defiled with other men, or men in plural. Why God entrapped himself? Because this is a picture of the relationship of God with Israel. And I just read to you in Isaiah 50, where is the certificate of divorce that I gave your mother? And he gives the reason why he divorced her and sent her, Israel, out of his house, the promised land. Are you with me? When the promised land vomited the people of Israel out, it was nothing but God divorcing his wife, Israel. Are you with me? Whoops! We are in trouble, in a big trouble now. Because God cannot, according to his own word, cannot take us back. Because we are a bunch of adulterers. We were a bunch of adulterers before he sent us out of his house. To begin with, that's why he sent us out, right? It was not because we did not prepare him sweet enough coffee for breakfast, right? We were adulterers. And guess what? Adultery in the physical means sexual immorality. But guess what it is in the spiritual? Everything which stands before you and the Almighty. How do I know it? I read my Bible. Whenever the Israelites went and worshipped other gods on every high hill and under each green tree, remember this phrase from the Bible, throughout the prophets? God detested them. God did not want them, and he called them harlots. He called her, you are a harlot, zonah in Hebrew. You are an adulterer, adulteress? Noefet in Hebrew. Whatever you do which is sin in his sight, you already under the category of adulterer. Quite a serious business, right? I'm not inventing it. It's in the Bible. Go to Ezekiel 16, not now. Do your homework later on. This is my homework for you. Go to Ezekiel 23, and you will see all that I just spoke about. God divorced Israel. And now we have a big problem. We have a Torah, which is a very, very holy Torah. Nothing is wrong with the Torah. It's perfect and holy and good. Yes or no? Can I hear amen? But the problem is that the Torah is so holy, it's the expression of God Almighty, and we, after Adam and Eve, are incapable to keep it to the letter. So what was given to us as a good and holy thing to protect us, actually Satan, the tricky one, took it against us. You see, you did not do it. You did not deal. Agree with our adversary, beloved. This is just a side sentence. When Satan comes and whispers, you missed it. I know. Thank you for reminding me. Now I can go and repent. Don't argue. Don't have a checklist of the 613 commandments. You are doomed to be lost if you think that you can check them out. Are you with me? God gives us a holy Torah, and what is good becomes our enemy. If you think I just landed from the moon, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, read Galatians. What was supposed to be good became against us. Why? Because we, not because of the Torah. The Torah is holy. But friends, don't give up, because the story continues. In Jeremiah 31, God tells us how he's going to solve the problem that he put himself in. Am I blaspheming? God put himself in a problem. I'm speaking in a man's human being language. Of course, God does not make mistakes and he does not entrap himself. I'm speaking in our language, okay? Are you following? But God is bound to his Torah like he expects us to be bound to it. Are you with me? Cursed is the one who will not keep each and every of the commandments. My Torah says. as I am cursed, God is also bound to keep it, because God never gives you commandments that he did not fulfill himself. Are you with me? So God is in a trap now. It's easy to solve. I mean, we are just human beings. We are after Adam and Eve, sin. No chance we can keep his Torah. But what about him? He loves us so much. Do you agree? He loves us. He's crazy about us. I mean, we sang it today. The one who created the galaxies. How many of you visited some astronomy books? How can you fathom even the fact that such a God even cares about, what we were dressed in, you know? But he cares. I mean, I cannot understand it in my limited human being. But I need to believe, because this is the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are you with me? And this is the very solution for the problem, for the trap. In Jeremiah 31, he says, there are times that days coming, that I am going to cut. I'm paraphrasing with my bad English. Forgive me. I'm talking about Jeremiah 31, yeah? I'm going to cut, to make. Make in Hebrew, cut, because you cut animals. You stamp it with blood, okay, every covenant. I'm going to cut a new, not renewed, like many Messianics like to say, sorry to disappoint you. Renewed is mechudeshet. Chadasha is new, complete new. I'm going to cut a new covenant with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, unlike, not like the covenant that I cut with them when I brought them out of Egypt. In the context, Mount Sinai. What is the big difference? Is that instead of putting it on tablets of stones, the words, the Ten Commandments, he is going this time to stamp them, to write them and stamp them on tablets of flesh. So it will become, our keeping of the Torah will come from inside out and not from outside in, out inside. Are you with me? Are you still following? No falling asleep, huh? Beloved, okay, so he gives the new covenant, right? Now, why couldn't he save all the problem to his son Yeshua, bring his son Yeshua, he would stand in the holy temple in Jerusalem, Rabbi, yeah? And he would declare, I am the Messiah, I am the only way, I am the way, I am the truth, forgot the third one, life, yeah? Nobody can come but by me. All my enemies, gone, like a nuke, bye-bye. All the good ones come, hallelujah, let's now celebrate our wedding. Woohoo! Great, right? Why did Yeshua need to suffer what he suffered? How many of you saw Mel Gibson's movie? Beloved, take it in proportion. I don't believe that all of the movie is accurate biblically, but at least one very dramatic description there, which I love, it's not the right term, you know, but I'm touched by, is the crucifixion itself. And then the sword, yeah. Crazy! And how Yeshua looks, ugly, completely not a macho from Hollywood, yeah? I mean, disgusting, actually. It's biblical. We saw him and we despised him. He doesn't have any appearance. Here, Mel Gibson really nailed it. Why? Why does Messiah need to die for us at all? Because he is our husband. And because he is trapped, he is bound by his own Torah. We, as adulterers, cannot be brought back to his house as is. We need a new husband. We were married too long for husband named First Adam. Are you with me? First Adam, who was buried to Satan. Are you with me? We are the descendants who follow in his footsteps. Adam, first Adam. We cannot get back to the Garden of Eden, to God's home, to the harmony between the wife, creation, humanity, with the Creator, husband, unless somebody comes to reverse it all the way back. Are you following? Yeshua cannot marry us as first Adam. When he came and was incarnated in human body, he could not yet marry us. He could only marry us as one who took the Adamic nature upon himself, became like our Torah portion tells us, Kilelat Elohim Talui, accursed by God, hang on a tree. It's for our portion, yeah? And not only this, to be resurrected on the third day as a new Adam. Are you with me?